What's up? This is Movies On Up on June 20th. Let it all out. A man who I hope does not wait till June 20th to let his feelings out on this episode.
I was going to let it all out. I didn't know you were talking about feelings, though.
No, I just mean, you know, feelings, impressions, opinions more than anything. The man with all of those is Mr. Dave Becella, seated right across from me. He's Dave, I'm Ryan. We are Movies On Up on June 20th. Let it all out. It's our tagline for this week. It's stupid, but we didn't come up with it. If you think you know what stupid movie that comes from, let us know in one of the following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guests on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your guests to us @moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct and we choose you, you will let out a prize package from your mailbox.
It'll be incredible.
No, it won't. As a matter of fact.
It'll be a hulking prize package.
Ah, there you go. There you go. This week, we will be talking a little bit about the Hulk, as unless you've been living under a rock, you are intimately familiar with the fact that Avengers Endgame hits theaters this week. By the time this airs, Dave and I have seen it. Shit, we may be seeing it again as you're listening to this. Last year, we kind of gave a moratorium for talking about Infinity War. We waited about a month to do an episode about that movie, and we did that back in May. This year, instead of doing a moratorium, I think we were going to maybe look at it more as maybe a wrap-up of this particular section of Marvel movies, as Kevin Feige and crew have pretty much said all along that this movie, and specifically with Infinity War, is going to wrap up. So we'll start with some box office numbers. When we did our Infinity War episode last year, it really only been in theaters for about a month, so we didn't have complete box office numbers. If you don't know what those are, we're going to go ahead and give them to you right now. It opened to $257.6 million on April 27th, 2018, which is still the largest opening for a movie ever, at least for the time being. It is entirely possible that that will have been defeated by Endgame. Obviously, that was good for first place back in April of 2018. A Quiet Place, I Feel Pretty, Rampage, and another MCU movie, Black Panther, rounded out the top five for that week. Infinity War would go on to gross $678.8 million domestically, and that is the fourth highest total of all time domestically. And with no hints here, Dave, let's count down the top five, starting at number one, the highest grossing movie of all time.
See, I think I can name the top five, but I don't know the order, because is Titanic and Avatar still 1-2-ish?
No.
And then Black Panther.
Let's start with the highest grossing film of all time. It is not a trick question. It is a movie very near and dear to my heart.
Did Force Awakens
beat
it?
Star Wars The Force Awakens, absolutely. Okay. So that is number one. Number two is the movie that it displaced the previous highest grossing film of all time. No.
Avatar.
It is Avatar, yes.
Then Black Panther.
Then Black Panther.
Then Avengers.
Then Avengers.
Then Avatar.
And no, Titanic.
Titanic. That's what I mean. So, yeah. See, I could name the five.
Yes,
I knew
you can.
The five.
Right.
I wasn't sure of the order.
Yeah, and it's really, Avengers is four. If you know that Black Panther did outgross Avengers last year, that's three. So really, then you just have to know that the current...
I get Titanic and Avatar mixed up.
Yeah. Like, Titanic from 1997 till 2003, when Avatar came out, was the highest grossing film of all time. Avatar displaced it. And then The Force Awakens took down Avatar. And who knows? Maybe The Force Awakens does not finish the year in the number one spot. I don't think it will. But we will get to that later at the end of this episode. Now, if you were to add in The Incredibles 2, 2018 features three of the top 10 highest grossing films of all time, and had the biggest yearly gross ever. So big year for superhero movies specifically in that year. But three of the top 10 are in 2018. So that was a really big year for movies. I will be surprised if this year does not beat it. As a matter of fact, we do have an Avengers movie. We've got a kids movie in The Lion King that I could see outgrossing Incredibles 2. And we've got a Star Wars movie. So we had done a standalone Infinity War episode last May, and that's not to say that we haven't talked about it before then or since then. And we have talked a lot of Marvel movies in the last, I don't know, 7-8 years that we've been doing this show. Right around our anniversary, it coincided with the release of the first Avengers movie. We always kind of do a Marvel-centric episode. And so many of these movies, 20 to this point, have come out since we've done the podcast. 21, if you include The Incredible Hulk being added.
June 20th, I let it all out.
That was just the Hulk. That's the Eric Bana one. Yes, the Edward Norton. Yeah, as a lark, is the Loki that I am, I chose the Hulk movie that's not in the MCU to be the tagline. But the Edward Norton one was put in there. And there's this really fun, at least I think it's fun. We both think it's fun because we both did it. Exercise on the internet where they'll put two Marvel movies against each other and you just pick which one you want to watch right in that very moment. And it'll kind of help you determine what your favorite Marvel movies are, which if you just ask me what my five favorite are, it'd be hard to come up with.
You know what? And that's, I wanted to compare the list because my top two or three, I think, are pretty accurate. My top five gets a little iffy, but like my top couple, I love the Captain America movies. So like Winter Soldier, I would think off top of my head would probably be up there with Civil War and Infinity War. And then like, I really like Ant-Man and Spider-Man and stuff. And I liked Captain Marvel a lot. It's weird. Like I haven't looked at my list since I did it, but I do remember I did take a look at it, and it's fairly accurate. It's a fun little exercise.
I've done this a couple times this year. One of the times I did it was right after Captain Marvel. So we were trying to figure out, so what do you think about Captain Marvel? And my thought at the time was like, for me, it's a mid-level Marvel movie. It's good. It's somewhere probably in the middle. It's not my favorite. It's not my least favorite. It's probably right in the middle. And damn it, if that's not exactly how this came out.
It's getting hard to judge them like that. Like, was Captain Marvel, I loved. Was it a top five Marvel movie for me? No, I don't think so. Was it one of my favorite, quote-unquote, origin stories? Like, if you take just the first ones?
Sure.
Yeah, it would be in my top five. It would be in my top maybe three or four.
Right.
But overall, it came in, just looking at my list, it was 8. Yeah. So that's like middle of the road out of 21.
Right, exactly. Do you want to just run down, like you start at the bottom, you give your 21, and then we'll just kind of
let's kind of compare them along the way. My 21 was The Incredible Hulk.
Mine as well.
Yeah. My 20, Dark World.
I had the first Thor there.
Okay.
I do like Dark World a little bit better.
Mine was a little higher. My 19 was Iron Man 2.
Mine as well.
My 18 is Doctor Strange.
My 18th is The Dark World.
My 17 is Thor.
I had that one, obviously, at 20. I had that a little lower. This was one of the few ones that did surprise me. Apparently, and maybe it's only because I've seen it once, I did not enjoy Ant-Man and the Wasp that much. Because it's down there at 17.
I have questions about that. Mine. 16, I have Guardians 2.
16 is Iron Man 3 for me. Which breaks my heart that a Shane Black movie is that low on any list I do, but such is life.
15 for me is Black Panther.
15 for me is the original Iron Man. So in 15 down, all three Iron Man movies, which is, I like Robert Downey Jr. I love him as Iron Man. Turns out I didn't like the movies that much.
My 14 is Guardians.
My 14 is Doctor Strange.
My 13 is Iron Man.
I have Avengers Age of Ultron.
My 12 is Captain America First Avenger.
That is exactly where I have Captain America.
My 11 is Avengers Age of Ultron.
That is Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
My 10 is Iron Man 3.
That is where I have Captain Marvel.
My 8 is Ragnarok.
My
9 is Ragnarok.
My 9 is Guardians, the first one.
My 8 is Captain Marvel.
My 8 is Black Panther.
7, I have Ant-Man.
That is where I have Ant-Man as well.
6, I have Homecoming.
6, I have The Winter Soldier.
This is where I... my 5... I don't know if I had just rewatched it maybe or what, but coming in at 5 for me is Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay.
I do love the Ant-Man movies.
Yeah.
But that seems high to me. If I were manually doing it, I would probably put Spider-Man up there.
Well, you have Ant-Man and the Wasp higher than Ant-Man, right?
I do.
Is that correct?
I don't know. I like them both so much. Ideally, if I were doing this, I would bump Spider-Man up to 5.
Okay.
And bump Ant-Man and the Wasp to 6, so the Ant-Man and the Wasp and Ant-Man are 6 and 7, and they're interchangeable.
Fair enough.
I like them both a lot equally.
My five is the Avengers.
My four is the Avengers.
My four is Spider-Man Homecoming.
My three is Infinity War.
Three is Ragnarok.
Two is Civil War.
Two is Infinity War.
My one is Winter Soldier.
My one is Civil War.
I mean, we were
pretty close.
Pretty close. I mean, there was two or three. I think there were only a couple that were way off. Like,
Yeah. A lot of them.
I had Black Panther lower than I thought I would. I think that just because going through it does. What do you want to watch right now? And like, Black Panther, I like that movie. I don't find it super rewatchable. Same with Doctor Strange. I didn't find it extremely rewatchable, and really liked Guardians 2 when I left the theater, but then starting to rewatch it, it's like I looked at it from a rewatchability.
And that's
standpoint.
What they're asking you. For me, I try to just leave it at if it's very rewatchable, then that means I like it a lot. When I did this exercise the second time, I was coming off watching Infinity War, and I think it might be safe to say that Doctor Strange may have got a little Infinity War bump. I don't love his standalone movie that much, but I like him a lot in Infinity War, so that might have bumped him up a couple notches. But a lot of these are... Black Panther, I think, is kind of a mid-level Marvel movie for me. I mean, I have it at 8. When I was trying to compare, like, Captain Marvel, like, I like Black Panther better, and it's higher on my list. But I really like my 16, which is Iron Man 3. You know what I mean? I like those movies.
Well, I was just, that
none
was,
of them are bad.
That was the point I was going to make.
True.
My 18 is Doctor Strange.
Yes.
I really like Doctor Strange. So, I mean, only thing below that, I don't consider the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk part of it. I know it
neither
technically
do I.
Is. But so it's 21. Dark World and Iron Man 2, I think, are the only ones that I would consider, like, really, but they're watchable.
They are.
They're watchable.
I would throw the first two Thor movies, Iron Man 2 and The Incredible Hulk, aside and say those I do not care for. Any other Marvel movie, I will watch at any time, and I like them all. Civil War, and I mean for you, like Winter Soldier, I love that movie. As much as I enjoyed Infinity War, and I do, man, I kind of wanted to go back and watch Civil War after that, just because I think that, to me, and they've done so well with all these movies, that's just, and I think there's a little bit of similarities between the two. I mean, we got some really cool team-ups with Cap and Falcon and Black Widow. That was a fun dynamic there in Winter Soldier.
And Marvel hit a point where they realized they work better than twos. Even Captain Marvel, it's a buddy flick with Fury.
Spider-Man had Tony Stark.
Yeah.
An awful lot.
So they're, and now he's got Nick Fury.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're just throwing him in there to throw him in there. Like, they realize, like, that works a lot better. If you do Ragnarok and you take Hulk out of it, it's a completely different movie. And you're seeing that with the Disney Plus stuff, you know?
Absolutely. The Disney Plus shows, with the exception of Loki, you've got the announced ones, the Winter Soldier, Falcon, that's a team up. Captain America's best buddies, that should be fun. Wanda and Vision are going to have their own show, which sounds good as well. And even Hawkeye,
which is not announced. Hawkeye and Kate Bishop.
Right, exactly. So that'll be a buddy team up with one of the buddies that we have yet to meet, which I do think is exciting. Like I mentioned, the Loki series. I think that as far as things that are announced, really the Disney Plus series are the only things that we know are coming out. And we talk about Winter Soldier, Falcon, Wanda, Vision, Loki. What do they all have in common from Infinity War?
They all faded away.
Or just straight up
Loki
died. Yeah, yeah. Hell, he may have. Who knows?
Trickster.
Trickster indeed. So by this time, we've got 21 movies, 23 moving forward, counting Endgame and Spider-Man. What I think Marvel has managed to do wonderfully is keep us on the edge of our seat. Again, as much as they can. Unless you believe that these shows will take place before Infinity War. And I don't happen to believe
Loki,
that. Loki could.
Yeah.
But the other ones, I do think that we're going to see those heroes come back. And obviously Spider-Man, we've seen the trailer, so we know that Nick Fury is coming back. And we know that Peter Parker is going to be resurrected. But we've got the next 3 years of Marvel planned out in terms of there are spots held, 3 movies a year. We're only getting 2 this year. We have three Marvel movies a year, and they have not announced the titles for any of those. So, again, this is a giant business, but they have managed to save as much as they can to where we think there are actually stakes in Endgame.
Yeah, and I mean, there's stuff announced. We know Doctor Strange 2. We know Black Panther 2.
Yes. Black Widow is going to have her own movie.
There's Eternals. There's Shang-Chi.
None of those appear.
No, yeah. Exactly. You know there's going to be a Captain Marvel 2, which will hopefully they take place before Endgame anyway.
Like, and a Guardians 3 that
eventually
they've rehired James Gunn for. But that doesn't mean that all the Guardians have to come back for that.
No. And you know there's going to be a third Spider-Man. They're waiting. They know. Because remember how they blew our minds years ago when they announced Civil War and Black Panther and
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange and the Inhumans.
Yeah.
They gave us all that and they laid out this blueprint. And at that point, it was Infinity War 1 and 2. And it was mind-blowing that they planned it out that far ahead. And I think it's going to be the same thing. I think they're going to make the announcement without even considering Fantastic Four and X-Men yet. I think we're going to get this next wave of movies for the next 4 or 5 years, and it's not going to touch Fantastic Four or X-Men. So that'll give us something to kind of wait for.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Fox stuff, you've got Fantastic Four, X-Men, and that guy with the red and black spandex suit that Feig has said they're going to continue to make R-rated Deadpool movies, and there's a good possibility he may be pulled into the MCU larger, certainly with some of the X-Men stuff. You can see that happening. But a tipping point, I think, is a good analogy if you want to consider Thanos trying to balance everything. I think we're right at that perfect balance point where we've got, we'll say, 22 movies, not counting the 23rd Spider-Man, 22 movies with an immense cast that we are going to have to lose some of. But for Marvel to be able to even build a 22-movie universe, we're going to lose some of the original Avengers. And maybe it's not Black Widow, although her movie could very easily be a flashback.
I think they've said it is. It's like her early spy days.
Absolutely. So we could see that. You know, Hawkeye's probably going to survive because he's got a Disney Plus. But I think for guys like Captain America, for the Hulk, for Iron Man, hell, maybe even for Thor, these are folks that we've kind of known for a while that their contracts have been up. There's nothing announced for them. So for those kind of characters, which before Iron Man hit theaters, that's probably a C-level comic book character.
Iron Man was a C or D level.
Yeah. Captain America, maybe slightly higher than that. Hulk, maybe higher. I would argue Thor is probably on the same level as Iron Man. It's not Spider-Man.
No. And Marvel really only had, I would think, the closest to Spider-Man would have been Captain America.
Maybe, or I would say Wolverine.
Yeah, which they didn't have.
Right,
so,
no.
And to build this universe out of that, because it's crazy to think of Iron Man now and consider him a C or D character, but they took a risk on Favreau, they took a risk on RDJ, and they started it with here's one building block. And they had planned out Thor and Captain America, and they knew where it was going, but they focused on those movies first, and it worked. The blueprint was laid out for DC to do the same thing, and DC started at the end, and now they're realizing, like, oh, let's make good solo movies first.
And we compare the two a lot, and it is on...
It's hard not to.
It's hard not to. But for Marvel to basically build what is, I believe, unquestionably, the most successful film franchise of all time, and not even lead with their best characters, is just astounding. I mean, you look at even... Not even as like a general fan of movies. If you look into that, your Batman, your Superman, for the general public, that trumps anything Marvel started with. And even from a comic sales standpoint, I'm pretty sure that outside of Spider-Man, only Captain America even had a book that cracked the top 20 in comics sold in 2018. So even after these movies and after raising the profile of these C-level characters, comic book fans still don't give a shit. They're still all about the DC guys, about Batman and Superman. But having that strong of a foundation, you'd think that how in the hell could DC not manage to string together 5 good movies. We mentioned that we don't love the Hulk, and some of the early Thor stuff is not great either. But, I mean, out of 21 movies, there's 5 we don't like. Out of the DC stuff, there's 5 I don't like now.
Yeah, and the thing is like, they're doing it now. Like, if DC would have come out and made their Superman and then made Wonder Woman, they focused on Wonder Woman and they made it work. Aquaman, he's lower than Iron Man. He's a silly, stupid character. They made it work. They made a hit out of it. Shazam, I would even argue, was lower than Aquaman, because Aquaman, at least people know the joke, and they're making it work. If they'd have started doing that and then tried to universe build like Marvel did, it makes a lot more sense.
I mean, it's easy to kind of see the blueprint now and say, well, why didn't you just follow that? But,
well, we called it at the beginning, too.
Yeah.
Like, we said it the whole time.
Right.
Why are you doing it this way?
But when they started, when Marvel started,
there
wasn't a blueprint.
No.
You know? They just kind of...
I mean, there was. I think Feige's known all along. He's had plans, but I don't think they knew it would work this well. I think they knew how they could get it by.
The average of these movies... is $345 million. I mean, collectively, they've made $7.2 billion domestically. I mean, this is starting with Iron Man. I don't know how you can think best case scenario. I don't think they would have thought that they were going to end up with this, but they focused on making the best Iron Man movie they could. And then they made the best Iron Man 2 they could, which didn't turn out to be that good. But even with the struggles, and most of their struggles were early, they got them out of the way and they were able to build on top of that. And, you know,
they haven't been afraid to mix it up.
Right.
Winter Soldier, that's a political thriller.
Yes.
That's a superhero movie. You know, Ant-Man's a heist movie. Ragnarok is a
buddy cop
road
movie,
trip movie,
yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
much. Like, they had a bumpy road with directors to start. Thor lost Branagh, and then Patty Jenkins, I believe, was attached to mm-hmm. do Thor 2, and she left. They got rid of Favreau after 2 Iron Man. They had a bumpy road, and then they realized, let's just give these guys the keys.
Yeah.
You're playing in our sandbox, so there are rules to follow, but go for it. And you let Taika Waititi make a Taika Waititi movie. You let James Gunn make a couple James Gunn movies, and a third one coming.
The Russos got to stick around and kind of take the big hand control over...
From Whedon, yeah.
Yeah, this back half of the Avengers stuff, and realizing that you can make anybody into a superhero, but not necessarily everybody can direct movies of this scale and with now this much riding on them. So, spoiler alert, we like the Marvel stuff, and if you want to hear specifically how much we liked Infinity War, you can check out our episode from last year. I mean, I just rewatched it again this week to get all hype for Endgame. And, I mean, I like it. It's not my favorite. I think there are definitely some things they could improve on by the time we come around to Endgame. And one of the things that I would like to see, and I'm going to ask Dave his thoughts here shortly, but one of the things that I would like to see more in Endgame is some of my favorite scenes in any of the Marvel movies are when we get superheroes actually teaming up during a fight and kind of playing off one another. There's a really kick-ass scene in the first Avengers where Iron Man hits Captain America's shield with the lasers and he spins around. That was amazing. There's that fun scene in Civil War where Ant-Man says, "Hey, Arrow guy, I got an idea." He shoots a tiny Ant-Man. That
magic.
Kind of
magic, yeah, with a kick.
Exactly. And that one is the best example, I think, in Infinity War. But I would really like to see more of that. We got some cooperation in this movie, you know, Bucky picking up Rocket and spinning around, or the ladies kind of engaged in that fight together. But I don't think they necessarily played off each other enough.
And that's something that Marvel, we've talked about before, how well they do it. In Civil War especially, not just the big scene, but Bucky and Cap at the end.
Yeah.
And they've always done well at making them fight to complement each other.
Right.
Not just fight together,
yes.
But Avengers was really good with it. Even Avengers 2 did it a lot. There was some of it in Infinity War, but not as much. And I get that you have this whole ton of people to work with. But yeah, that's some of the highlights. The airport scene mm-hmm. in Civil War is one of the best highlight of the entire thing. One of the knocks on early Marvel movies was the villains were always kind of vanilla or cut and dry. They've gotten a lot better. Black Panther even Hella was good. What they've started doing is kind of, it's not as cut and dry. Like, if you look at Ant-Man and the Wasp, there's not really a villain. Ghost isn't really a villain in that movie. And even Thanos, in his own eyes, is not really a villain.
Civil War Zemo, that was one of my favorite villains.
That
you
was,
could understand where he was coming from.
And even Captain Marvel, you blurred the lines with what a villain is and everything. And I like that. Keep doing that. It doesn't have to be cut and dry, black and white, good and bad. You can play with that a little bit. And if you can understand what they're doing, like Killmonger, he made sense. You know, Thanos makes sense. Zemo, you know where he's coming from. Keep it up with the villains and don't just focus on the heroes. And that's what they've been doing. And it's been working great because they're getting great actors that are bringing those villains to life. Mendelsohn and
Josh Brolin, Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up villains because I think Thanos is a character that has been floating in the MCU for so long. He's been so built up that by the time we really got to see him in earnest, he did not take long to really impress on the fact that every bit of dread that we should have been feeling or we were feeling leading up to it was founded because he wipes the floor with the Asgardians and the Hulk to start Infinity War. That's such a great character to build to for a decade and then to have him come in. There's a lot of expectations on this big purple shoulders, and I think that Brolin and the Russos and everybody involved really did a great job of making him such a great character. And one of the things I'm kind of hoping for in Endgame is that we got a lot of toys when it comes to superheroes, and we just got a new one with Captain Marvel. My hope is that they really resist the urge to have one of the newer characters sort of dispatch Thanos. I would really like it to be one of the original six or some combination of them, just to kind of show that they were very powerful too. You know, I don't want it to get lost.
And that's where, you know, the Russos have been asked, like, how did you decide who lives and dies and who goes away in the snap? And they've said, there's a reason the original six survived.
Right.
So this is very much the wrap up of their arc as a sixsome, as a
sextet.
Yeah.
That's why I don't feel like I'm asking too much to have them really sort of be the heroes one more time. I don't think this is going to be the last time that we see all six of them, but it will certainly be the last time we see all six of them together. For me, that'll be very important, is just to, we're not just wrapping up Thanos's story. We are wrapping up what has been the first, I don't know what to call it. It's not the first phase because we're in phase four. It's, I don't think it's the first half of MCU
Infinity
stuff.
Saga.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the half because who knows how long we can go with them. The 20th movie just broke records and is making a ton of money. The 21st is going to...
Yeah, by the time she's done.
Yeah.
It's tough because we have, you know, a movie like Infinity War that's in the top five highest grossing movies of all time. And we're like, all right, well, what are you going to do to make it better? What are you going to do moving forward? It's like you almost can't appreciate what you've got. I got to know the next Thanos. I don't know any of the individual movies that are coming up. And, you know, the next big bad necessarily isn't going to factor into all the movies coming up. But I think I'm going to feel a little let down if there isn't some kind of breadcrumbs towards what our next, if the Infinity Saga wraps up, what is our next saga? What is our next overarching plot? I feel like there's got to be something that starts to lead us to heavily be able to speculate what it is.
Yeah, but I think it's down the road because I think we'll get through Black Widow, Doctor Strange 2, Captain Marvel 2. Like, I think we'll get through a bunch of those. And then I really think the next logical progression from Thanos, the guy who wiped out half the universe, would have to be Galactus.
I tend to agree.
Eats planets. Maybe it's not as big of a cosmic threat, but, you know, he's definitely a cosmic character. So the cosmic Guardians and Captain Marvel and all them could definitely come across. And
Silver
the Eternals,
Surfer now.
Yeah. Or somebody even on a smaller scale like Doctor Doom showing up across the board, I think would be kind of cool.
Or if they're going to go with a story arc, the Secret Invasion, I think is certainly a way they can go.
Yeah.
It was teased with Captain Marvel a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't know that I think the quote-unquote twist in Captain Marvel, I think, kind of... Yeah. I left that thinking, like, okay, maybe we won't see Secret Wars.
It took some of the starch out of it, but then to go back to the little girl on the spaceship, and maybe, you know, she's the one that kind of sees the subjugation of her people, and she becomes a little bit radicalized. And we didn't see Thanos in Iron Man. It took a while to get there. We knew that we were building the Avengers, and that was more... I don't know what we're building them for, but I know that we're assembling this group of heroes. And that was enough, I think, early on. Now I think we have this superhero group. The roster is going to change a little bit, but we know they're going to be called to come together to battle some kind of threat. And I think maybe I'm spoiled. I want to know what it is, because we have known Thanos has been lurking for the last, you know, at least 8 years since the first Avengers?
Avengers was the first tease of them, yeah.
Yeah, so plenty to do in this movie, but it's already done a ton. I mean, it crashed the Fandango servers when tickets went on sale weeks ago. What do you think the realistic expectations are for a movie like this?
$300 million opening. Really do. I truly think it'll be the first $300 million opening. I'm not saying, like, oh, I think it'll be close. I don't think it'll be like, oh, like $292. I think it's the first $300 million opening, and it would be fitting. Avengers was the first $200 million. The first Avengers was the first $200 million opening. And the time that happened, I never thought I'd see a $200 million opening. So obviously in my lifetime, I never thought I'd see a $300 million opening, but I think this is it. I think this does $300 million in that first weekend.
I have a tough time arguing with you. The last one opened at 258. So we're looking at an extra $42 million, which is a lot of money. But I don't know anybody that was at opening weekend of Infinity War last year that in the next 12 months has decided, you know what? I'm out on this. I don't really need to know. If anything, I think that it's probably just sucked more people in.
And I think the way with Infinity War, like how it ended, and the fact that it's going to be hard not to have it spoiled, and that Infinity War was such a shocker that, you know, they don't want it spoiled if Steve Rogers dies or whatever happens.
Or Tony Stark.
So I think there's going to be that. I have to see it that first weekend. People who would normally wait.
Yeah.
This is a water cooler movie. People are going to be talking
about
it.
It's Han Solo dies. I mean, it is an event, and we live in an era now where it's so easy to spoil things that is most of the reason, other than the fact that I literally can't wait for it. That's why I'm going opening night, because I don't want to hear about it. I want to see it. And if it opens to $300 million, where does it end?
I don't know that. I think there will be a lot of repeat viewers, too. Because, I mean, you look at a movie like this, like a four-time multiplier is pretty good, but that puts it at $1.2 billion.
Numbers.
Shut up, math. I don't know. Does it do it?
That's basically what I'm asking, is The Force Awakens is $936 million. If this opens to $300 million, how does it not become the highest grossing domestic film of all time?
It's different era, though. Like, when Force Awakens was a December release, so through January, you don't really get the competition. So even opening $300 million, I don't think guarantees it $950 plus, just because competition is there. It's not going to have a hold for 5, 6, 8 weeks.
Perhaps not. But if it opens to $40 million more than Infinity War, if it opens to 300, then I think it's reasonable to believe that it's going to eclipse $700 million. That's what Black Panther did.
I think it's over 850. I think it's 900. I think it's over 900.
Okay.
I think the worst case scenario for this movie is second of all time.
And that's basically what we're getting at, is Avatar is sitting at 760. Without question, it takes down Avatar?
Without a doubt.
Okay.
I think worst case scenario is number two highest grossing movie of all time, with the shot at number one. I don't want to commit to number one. I think it breaks 900.
Yeah.
Whether it gets that high 900, I think 950 is reasonable. if I had to put a guess on it, like I would say it's in that 950 range.
950 does it. 936.
Oh, okay.
Is Force Awakens. So 950 gets it.
Then yeah, I think it does. I think it ends up in that 950 range.
I'm kind of going with my gut. I sort of think it does too. I mean, I understand what you're saying with Force Awakens. Like, it was new Star Wars that we hadn't had.
I mean, there was a lot.
Yeah. It was December.
It's a good point. It was just the biggest point to me is it's December, so you don't have that competition coming up right after. You don't have Men in Black International. You don't have Lion King to fight with. You don't have all that. But, you know, it was the first Star Wars in a long time, so, okay, that had that. But this is the last in a decade. This is wrapping up 11 years of film. People are really invested in this.
Yes.
The same way. So I feel like that is on par. If I'm ranking the handicaps, I think first Star Wars in a while and last Marvel wrapping up 11 years worth of story, I think are kind of on par. I don't see any way it doesn't make 9. And I really think it's in that 950 range.
I certainly think it's going to be close, but I mean, that's where we're at now, is that we're speculating about, is this going to be the highest grossing movie? Because I don't even think when Force Awakens was coming out, at that point it was taken down Avatar, which, what did I say? Was it like 700? Avatar was 760. It blew past that. Absolutely blew past it. There hasn't been a movie since Star Wars that I thought had a legitimate shot. I think this one does.
And even Infinity War, like I said, I don't think it's going to pass Black Panther. And people thought like, oh, there's no way Avengers doesn't make more than Black Panther. To make more than the third highest grossing movie of all time is quite a feat. And yeah. I went into Infinity War thinking like, I don't know that it is going to pass that. But this one, I have no doubt that it's going to pass.
It's going to hit half the total the first week.
Yeah, number two of all time is the worst this movie can do.
Yeah, which is, you know,
it would feel good to be Disney right
now. Yeah, right, which is not bad for
the three highest grossing movies of the year and quite possibly three of the top five or at least the top seven or eight by the end of the year. Of all time are going to be Disney releases this year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, you throw The Lion King in there as well. That's going to make a ton of money.
That's Star Wars, this, and Lion King are the three I was thinking of. Yeah,
right, yeah, that's what I mean. It's good to be Disney, and you know, if you end up with, after this movie is released, a top five that consists of Star Wars, Avatar, a Black Panther, a C-level Marvel character, Infinity War and Endgame, which are headlined by C-level Marvel characters. You know, that's not bad for a ragtag group of superheroes we threw together.
Still have four of the top five movies of all time.
Yeah, I
and
mean,
then in December they'll have five of the top six.
Well,
grossing.
I mean, if you consider that Avatar is Fox and Disney owns Fox now, like by hook or crook, the only ones in the top 10 they don't have are Titanic and Jurassic World. You have to go all the way down to The Dark Knight at 10 currently. So, yeah. You wonder why they can build parks the way they do. It's because they're just literally printing money. And I don't expect that to change anytime soon. In summation, we like Disney. We like Marvel movies. They make a shit ton of money. This one, I don't expect anything different. I'm going to like it. It's going to make a shit ton of money. Next week.
It's our anniversary episode. It's 7 or 8 years. It's a long time. So we can't just gloss over it, and we've tried to have an anniversary show every year. I think the first and second ones were more like, oh, wow, we've been doing this, so it actually meant something. But now it's just like,
this one's 7 years. I mean, we started in 2012.
Yeah, so it's, we can't not have an anniversary show, but we're not really ones to, we're not doing a clip show or anything, so we try to come up with different ideas, and we're going to have, you know, it's going to be Mutt Madness next week. We're going to go through and figure out who gets the coveted first invite to be the first guest.
They're getting a golden ticket.
Yeah. So that'll be next week. It'll encompass what we've talked about for 7 years. And
probably some Avengers on that list.
Maybe. Yeah.
Definitely. I've seen it.
Yeah. So next week will be our 7-year anniversary, and then we kick off summer. So that'll be fun. I'm excited.
Go spend all your money on the Avengers this week. Let us know what you think. At Movies On Up on Twitter. That's a good way to get a hold of us. But until next week, when it's our anniversary,
keep it up.